Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Big weekend for the Oregon Ducks and Mario Cristobal. They got the number one rated player, according to ESPN. He committed to them in the class of 2019. They've had a huge recruiting class overall. They're number five from a national standpoint. So that'd be fun to bring on our old friend, Greg Biggins, national recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports, and he joins us on the Catlin Capital Hotline. Greg, thanks for the time, man. We always appreciate it. And I just want to start, were you surprised he chose Oregon, or was it really just down to Oregon and maybe Bama?
It was. Kind of came out of those two. I really wasn't surprised at first. Let's back up a little bit. First off, I mean, Oregon, got to say, they did an unbelievable job getting Kayvon. They were probably running fourth, maybe even fifth prior to that official trip that he took. That was for the Washington weekend. And after that trip, they started to trend forward at the exact perfect time going into that trip. You know, kind of thought FSU was the leader. FSU kind of started to implode. So that kind of took them off the board. Alabama made a push, but Oregon, you know, he really loved that visit. He loved the coaching staff. I think he probably connected better with that staff than any other staff. And we always said, you know, this is a relationship business. And, you know, with Keith Hayward, with Big Joe, with Coach Cristobal, with the whole staff, Court Dennison, they did a phenomenal job. So I was kind of starting to feel Oregon probably about the last month and a half. This past week, there was a lot of buzz about Alabama, but, you know, I'm pretty close with his uncle, who kind of kept saying, you know what, it's still Oregon right now. So I wasn't shocked, but maybe shocked at how far they came from behind, and just for Oregon to come in and still a kid who was like such a nationally coveted player with just a huge pickup, as you mentioned.
So really here in the Northwest, people were kind of shocked to hear that Oregon had landed a guy like Thibodeau. What is it about Oregon that swayed somebody like Thibodeau to really set up shop here in Eugene over a school like Alabama or Florida State?
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned, a lot of it was just relationships. You know, Keith Hayward is really close with Kayvon's uncle, and that they go back 10, 12 years. And so Hayward was actually on Kayvon as a freshman. They loved Coach Cristobal. They loved Coach Joe. So that was part of it. I think location was big. You know, he started to, you know, I think originally Kayvon kind of saw himself as this, you know, this high level SEC guy, got to go play for a school like Bama, Auburn, LSU, that big, one of that big national stage. But when it came down to it, he kind of said, and this was his quote, kind of said, hey, wherever I go, I'm going to bring that big stage with me. And the game, and this was kind of after the ceremony, I was there on Saturday. We kind of were joking around about, he said that was the wildest college game he's ever been to. Just the game atmosphere was incredible for him. And we kind of joked, you know, what happened if Washington makes that field goal in regulation? You know, are you still going to Oregon? Because, you know, he was on the field with the rest of the fans when they wanted overtime. So I think all that just, it was like I mentioned, just a perfect storm of location, coaching staff, opportunity to play right away. You know, Alabama, that probably hurt them just a little bit on this home visit with Nick Saban. Nick said, hey, you know, we want you. You got a chance to come here, and you may have to, you know, stay out a year, but you're going to be a great player for us. Whereas Oregon's saying, hey, you play right now for us. We got a starting spot for you to come and compete right now. And so all those things kind of factored in and kind of pushed Oregon over the top.
Yeah, nobody feels sorry for Nick Saban and losing a five-star. He gets enough of those damn players.
Yeah, not here at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, Greg Biggins is our guest, national recruiting analyst for 24/7 Sports. He's on Twitter at Greg Biggins. Give him a follow. He's on the Catlin Capital Hotline. You know, a lot has been made of Oregon being number five nationally in recruiting. And we know, obviously, Mario Cristobal, he's been named National Recruiter of the Year in his past, and he's doing an exceptional job in Eugene. But when you talk to players, when you talk to family members or coaches around at different high schools, what stands out the most about what Mario Cristobal is able to do versus a lot of other coaches maybe missing out on?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's a relentless effort, not just by Cristobal, although he's probably the most hands-on head coach that I've seen since, you know, maybe Pete Carroll. You know, Pete Carroll was the same way, where he just loved the competition. I think Cristobal is very similar in that he seems to really enjoy the chase, and he's got an incredible staff. They're all like that. You know, Hayward and Dante and Dennison and Big Joe and Mike Johnson and Marcus Arroyo. I mean, they all love to get out and recruit. And when you ask any kid, especially in SoCal where I'm from, you know, I always ask every kid, hey, who's on you the hardest right now? Who's recruiting the most? It takes about a second to say, oh, Oregon. I mean, it's Oregon is the one that hits them up the most, the constantly, the text, the DMs. And they take a visit there. And the second thing I hear is, the family atmosphere at Oregon. Again, that's a credit to Cristobal and just even this past weekend, you know, they had about 15 players that took official trips, and every one that I talked to said the same thing, where it didn't even feel like it was a visit. It felt like it was just family hanging out together, and we weren't even talking football. It was just a family bonding with each other, and that's kind of the environment, I think, that Crystal Ball has set up right now. So I'd say from a recruiting standpoint, man, they're relentless in how hard they pursue kids, and then when they do a great job getting kids on campus, and once they get them on campus, man, they just feel that love. They feel that family, and the staff, like I said, I've never seen a staff, talking just Pac-12, Pac-10, Pac-12 slash, who's recruited as well, or like I said, just as relentlessly as this year's Oregon staff is doing.
Greg, we hear so much about all the amenities that Oregon can offer all of their student athletes. How much do really the facilities here at Oregon really play into some of these kids' decision to commit to a school like the Ducks?
You know, to be honest with you, I've always felt that was overplayed, even going back to the days when, you know, Nike was the, you know, Oregon and all that Nike branding, they had it going with the offense, and everyone kind of said, oh, it's the facilities. You know, you don't get players unless you can win games, and you could have the worst team in the world with the best facilities. You're not going to win games. So, yeah, facilities help, absolutely. Oregon does a great job of featuring those, you know, the weight room, the locker room, academic center. It's all a big deal. But that's not why Oregon's getting kids, and I don't think they want to get kids who come just for the locker room, the weight room, and the academic center. You know what I'm saying? They get kids because, number one, of how hard they recruit them, how hard the players in the recruiting class recruit each other. Another thing I haven't seen too much is just you're seeing guys that already committed to Oregon, and they're relentless in how hard they're pursuing guys. So it's about the relationships. They're offering, you know, talking to kids about early playing time. They play the number of true freshmen this past year. So I think opportunity, relationships, just the effort, it's all kind of combined. So yeah, facilities matter, but I think I've always felt it was a little bit overplayed, thinking that kids go there just because there's a nice shiny weight room over there in the corner. It's beyond that.
Yeah. You know, Greg, a lot of people out here, you get a 5-star and you're like, okay, what's he going to be like? And we got a lot of people that follow recruiting, I'm sure follow you and have an understanding of a lot of these players, but listeners out there that don't follow recruiting as closely, is there a comparison of a player that Kayvon reminds you of that if we see him on the field, maybe not right away in the first game, but when you watch his tape, when you talk to people, he just reminds them of anybody in particular, past, present, what have you?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. You know, we kind of do comparisons on the website, and, you know, the one we listed originally was kind of like a Khalil Mack type. Then we kind of switched it up and made it more Robert Quinn. He's very unique. You know, he's a 6'4 kid, about 240. He's got length. He's a plus athlete. He's really, really strong. But he's smart. He's technical, and he's got multiple moves. And, you know, I think for me, I think he's still, you know, got a ways to go. I think he can get better. He's not peaked yet. I think, you know, you still want to see him maybe for me, maybe a more consistent motor. I think that's one thing I think he can do better at, but from a physical standpoint, you know, I think when his motor's going and he's ready, he's as disruptive as a Khalil Mack in terms of just that ability to play off the edge, drop in space, maybe kind of, you know, place outside linebacker in certain situations and certain schemes. But his best attribute, obviously, is hand the ground, getting after the quarterback. And that was big. I don't think I mentioned that, but Alabama and a few other schools, they liked him more as an outside linebacker. Not too much of a difference nowadays between a 3-4 and a 4-3, but Oregon said specifically, hey, defensive end, hand the ground, get the quarterback. That's what we want you to do. That's what he does in high school, and that he felt like that was the best scheme fit for him as well. So, yeah, that was big.
God, that's terrifying to think that they might have a Khalil Mack on their roster now. But I'll get you out of here on this one, Greg. You know, when you land the number one overall recruit in a class, and I know that's just ESPN's rankings, you can maybe tell us where he comes in for you guys at 24/7. But when you land a player of that caliber, you have like a top five type class. I know wins and losses need to happen, but overall, what does that do for a program like Oregon? Now they're in this race of the top college football elites on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, but obviously it raises the expectations, right? Because you mentioned not everyone knows about the stars and the recruiting rankings, but you better win if you're bringing in, you know, these top five recruiting classes. You know, like I said, I live in Southern California. That's what people are killing USC about right now. Is, hey, how do we just win 4 or 5 games with all these top 10 recruiting classes? So I think it raises the expectations, but I think that's good. I think it's a good thing. And I think what it does, it generates momentum for the following class too. You're seeing a ton of 2020s, even kids in the 2021 class, current sophomores, who are seeing what Oregon's doing right now and going, man, what's going on over there? How are they getting, you know, a Kayvon Thibodeau or a Jonah Talanua, Micah Pittman. These are all top 100 kids nationally. You know, how are they getting these guys? I think it sells itself. You start to see, you know, other players who want to take a visit, and they want to see, okay, what's so special about Oregon? So to kind of go back to your original question, we actually have Kayvon ranked number 10, mm-hmm. which, I mean, honestly, there's not much separation between 1 and 10 in this year's class. He could be 1, he could be 5, he could be 10. They're all, right. You know, he's a special talent for sure. And if you're ranked in the top 10, you're expected to go dominate, potentially be a 3-and-out guy and a first, second-round pick in the NFL. That's the kind of potential that Kayvon definitely has.
There we go. Greg Biggins, national recruiting analyst for 247sports.com. And you can find him on Twitter at Greg Biggins. Dude, Greg, we always appreciate the time. We love catching up with you, and we'll do it down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it.